Again, as I said at the beginning, this is kind of a different couple of weeks that we as a congregation have done long before I got here, leading up to Commitment Sunday. And it has a couple of components, and it's evolved over time, but in my 3 years here, I've enjoyed using this time to think and pray about where we are and where God is leading us. Its origins, and this is still a component of it, is that it turns out to be really, really helpful for those of us who plan budgets to have some kind of sense of what people expect that they will give over the next year. This is not a fundraiser. This is not a capital campaign. This is just kind of your usual, normal tithing sorts of stuff. It's just really helpful to have a number associated with that as we think about how we're going to allocate that. It helps us just be good stewards of what we are given. But over time, it's become, I mean, that's still there. But over time, it's become apparent that this is also a really good time for us to think about how we want to be involved in the ministry. Because a ministry like this is a collaboration. Everybody, or lots and lots of people, are involved, and that's what makes it, honestly, more fun. I mean, it makes it more effective because it's God working through his people, but it also makes it, it's a collaboration. It's something that we do together as God intended. So, very quick disclaimer at the beginning. An explanation plus a disclaimer that in a week or two, you will receive a letter with a form. And part of this form should look familiar. It does have the spot where as you feel God leads you, where what you suspect you might be able to give over the course of the next year. And as always, I hate talking about this kind of thing, but it's necessary. And it's also entirely private. I do not have access to this information. There is only one guy who will actually see that part of the form, and he ain't talking. And he's only going to look at it once it gets added up, probably added to a spreadsheet or something, whatever magic he does, and then it goes away. I don't know where he even stores them. And then he relays that number to the people who need it. So if you're worried about privacy, please don't. But there will be some other parts on this form that are kind of new. And they will be invitations for you to prayerfully consider. Maybe a board that is involved in certain aspects of our ministry here, or the many ministries here at the school and the church, and different ministries and opportunities to serve the church underneath that, where you can check your interest. There will also be, on the third week of this series, the final week, which is March 30th, which is a fifth Sunday. I know I'm throwing a lot of information at you. Hopefully, you know, over the next week or two, it starts to make sense. And as a fifth Sunday, it's kind of a family Sunday. We combine all the services, and it's a lot of fun. We will have a meal afterward, but that's when we will have an opportunity to lay that information at the feet of Jesus and bring whatever commitment that may look like and put it in our liturgical box. And what will be different this year is that after the service, and you know, kind of as you are leaving, as you go and get some food, as we all eat together, there will be representatives from each of those ministries. You know, say if you want to usher, you want to be involved in Stephen ministry or find out more about that, you want to be a lector, so like reader, as I very carelessly didn't see Kelly and thought she hadn't come up, and if you want to be involved in the gardening and maintenance or script and raise right, like any of those things, If you are a leader of those ministries, by the way, and you have not heard from me, which is most of you, I admit, come talk to me because we want to have tables where you can solicit volunteers. So all of that aside, we can actually get into something that resembles a sermon for at least a few minutes. I will talk for a couple of minutes. We will sing the offertory, and then we have a special presentation with Al Cushman, who long time member, many decades member here, who is involved in the Vision Task Force and oversees the God Cares About You ministry in the International District. And we will have Elizabeth come up as well, who is our Director of Youth, Family Life, and School Ministries, who is helping us bridge the gap between the church and the school. You'll hear about what they've been up to as a way of kind of setting the stage for what we've done. And then next week, we'll hear about where we think God is leading us. And there's lots of exciting things coming. Whew. Okay. Now, during the reading from the book of Philippians, Paul, as he is writing to Christians in the city of Philippi, uses a phrase that we often will think we understand, but we probably don't. And that is the phrase, citizens of heaven. And then Jesus, in the very famous reading from the Sermon on the Mount, says, store up treasures in heaven, and where your treasure is, there is your heart. Now that storing up treasures in heaven, for somewhat similar reasons to the idea of being citizens of heaven, is, again, probably not understood in a way that neither Paul nor Jesus would recognize. So we have to very briefly unpack some things. So we think of citizenship as more or less where you live. Like, I was born in the United States. I'm a citizen of the United States. Just like my parents were and back. And actually, if you trace one particular route on my dad's mom's side, we go all the way back to the Mayflower, quite literally, from the White family. And so we've been in the U.S. for a long time. Citizenship for us in the modern world means that I live in a certain place, I was born in a certain place, and I have certain rights and responsibilities because I am here. And if I were to expatriate, go somewhere else, almost certainly I would come back. That's how we understand citizenship. But Paul, as he is writing to these Christians in Philippi, is using a different understanding of citizenship. Now, there's a whole backstory there. We're not going to get into it, but it's pretty exciting. There was a major battle right outside of the city of Philippi, and the last thing they wanted in the wake of that battle, it kind of ended part one of the big Roman Civil War, was a whole bunch of soldiers with a bunch of plunder and very little to do to go back to Rome. You know, 100,000 soldiers with nothing to do and some money to spend, you're asking for trouble. And Rome is already like a packed sewer cesspit of plague anyway. So what they did instead was designate the city of Philippi as an official Roman colony and gave citizenship to all of these soldiers, which could be passed by birth. Now, that citizenship gave the holders certain entitlements and certain rights and responsibilities. For example, if you're a Roman citizen, it is illegal to crucify you. And you are allowed an actual trial. You can't just be accused of something and then punished. There was also certain inheritance rules and things like that, but it was a very valuable thing to have a Roman citizenship. And if you are from Philippi, there's a decent chance that you have this special privilege. It comes from Rome, but Rome really doesn't want you to go back. And in fact, that wouldn't make any sense. Your home is Philippi. And so the rights and responsibilities of citizenship of Rome comes to Philippi, And that's where you stay. You're not going back there. And in fact, that doesn't make a lot of sense. But you get the benefits from it. One New Testament scholar, the great Reverend Dr. Bishop Tom Wright, put it like this, that if you come to my house, there is beer in the fridge. You do not have to climb into the fridge to get it. It comes out to you. And so when Paul is saying you are citizens of heaven, it means that the rights and responsibilities and what it means to be in the family of God through Jesus comes to you, and you enjoy those rights and responsibilities wherever you are. It is not location-based. And what he is encouraging his readers to do is to live out those rights and responsibilities of being part of God's kingdom and what God is doing here on earth wherever they are. So he's pulling that image and then using it for his own benefit. Now, in the same way, Jesus says, "Wherever your heart, wherever your treasure is," or I'm sorry, before that, to store up treasures in heaven. We sometimes like think, and I seem to remember hearing this as a kid or something like that, that you know the good things you do, it's like storing up treasures, I don't know, in heaven, so that it's nicer when you get there, or some nonsense like that, which is, now that I think about it, very weird. And I don't know what my Sunday school teachers were thinking. It's not in the Bible. But anyway. But instead, think about what Jesus is encouraging his people to do, his followers, to give and serve those around them, to bring and represent the kingdom of God, God's family, in love and compassion and service, and proclaiming what God has done in Jesus by his death for their sins and his defeat of death when he was raised from the dead, as he started this new creation, that we're supposed to be ambassadors and spread that everywhere we go, that storing up treasure in heaven, and it's for the sake of us here and now. See, the long narrative arc of the Bible is not really focused on us going to heaven. I mean, that's kind of there, but the point is that actually heaven comes to earth. That's why we celebrate Christmas. That's the moment when heaven, the literal presence of God, Jesus, his son, comes to earth. He then talks about the kingdom of God being here now, and he proves it by healing people and feeding them and proclaiming freedom to the captives. And then in his death, he makes the path by winning forgiveness. And then when God raises him from the dead, he starts that new reality. And then he gives the Holy Spirit to his people and now says, "You are my representatives, you are my sacred space, you are the presence of God and ambassadors of it, so go and spread that everywhere you go." It's all heaven coming to earth. In fact, the book of Revelation, at the very end of the Bible, chapter 21, talks about the new heavens coming to the new earth. And so the things that we do in service and as disciples of Jesus are storing up treasures in heaven for the sake of us and those around us now. And interestingly enough, if you look at the Jewish literature from that time, which Jesus and Paul are very much in that world, that's the way they talk about it too. Now, Jesus very famously says, "Where your treasure is, there is your heart." And like most things that Jesus says, the longer you sit with it, the harder it bites. Because initially, we can maybe consider like an obvious case. Like somebody who just loves money, like really loves money, and all the power and prestige that come with being really, really rich. Most of us would say, yeah, that's not good. And that's going to have knock-on effects. Like if you're just somebody who's very greedy and they're willing to do anything they can to get more, it is going to harm them spiritually. They are going to harm others spiritually, and in probably other ways too. So we can all recognize, yeah, that's not great. But it leads to some other questions. Well, for example, what do I treasure? Like me, Eric. I know how I'm supposed to answer that. I'm supposed to say, among other things, well, I really treasure my family, my wife and son. And so because of that, I know that I need to live in a certain way that provides for them, cares for them, lifts them up, you know, for my son, to give him all the opportunities I can so that he can thrive and love and follow Jesus and bless the world with his many talents and gifts. That's what I'm supposed to say. However, I also know, because I'm a human being and I am very good at corrupting everything, I know that the better my family is, the better I look. Better reputation I have. And that can be a problem, especially when it turns into, therefore, even if things are falling apart behind closed doors, we need to look good. See, that is core to the Christian story. That at the very beginning, the man and the woman were given everything and told not to touch or eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And that's an ancient Near Eastern way of saying, do not grab wisdom for yourself. That's what the knowledge of good and evil is. And when the woman sees it and grabs it, it actually says, she noticed that it was good for making one wise, but it was apart from God. So we can take anything good. Like the core of our story begins with taking something really good and corrupting it. Give you another example. My parents have two sons. I am one of them, obviously. And the oldest, which I am, became a pastor. God help us all. And my brother, their youngest, became a doctor. That looks pretty good. It would be very easy, and probably is, I didn't ask them permission to bring this up, and probably is very easy to think, look what we did. Now, again, I said this first service, it doesn't technically matter. This service, because this one isn't live streamed, they often will tune in, and so I have to say, I am not implicating my parents in anything. It's just an easy example. Just FYI. Because in those cases, where's your heart really? And therefore, is your treasure really in doing the right thing by your family? Or is it in looking really good? The honest answer is probably both. And we can do this to anything. Go and feed the poor. Great. They need it. If people are hungry and you have the means to feed them and the opportunity to serve them, they will be blessed because of it. It will also make you look really good. So where's your heart? Well, if you're like me and everybody else that I've known who's human, somewhere in the middle. This is why Jesus is very, very interested in where your heart is, because it shows you what you really value. And as it turns out, he is the only one with enough moral and spiritual authority to say this. Me just saying it is either me being really mean to everybody or just being a massive hypocrite. Definitely the latter. But Jesus actually has the authority to say this. Because if there is one person who is truly to be valued above everybody else, it's him. And he's the one person who is willing to give himself up for you and everybody else. He very truly practiced what he preached. His heart very truly was on the people, on you and me, in desperate need for salvation. And he did it. We are in the season of Lent, which means we are headed towards that Friday when he gave everything. And then we celebrate because he did the one thing we didn't see coming when he defeated death. So the reason why I bring up this idea of where your treasure is, there's your heart, is that some of the things we'll be talking about in just a few minutes are about what we've done as a congregation, as a community, as a school, ministry, and everything in between. And over the last couple of years, we've raised money to create a new position, the Director of Youth, Family, Life, and School Ministries, which was, it was a risk. It kept me up at night. And it, oddly enough, when we cast the vision for what we wanted to do to help us bridge the gap between the church and the school, because we have families here who need Jesus just like everybody else, and this is such a great community. We want them to be a part of us, and we needed help doing it. When we cast that vision, you as a congregation responded with generosity that surprised all of us. And I'm learning it probably shouldn't have, but it did. And it showed you where your heart was. And likewise, as we're revamping and redoing our funding model for our school so that we can have a scholarship fund so that anybody can come and have a Christian education if they want it, regardless of where they are financially. As we had our first gala fundraiser this year, we had a number in mind that we were just kind of hoping to hit, and we doubled it. That shows us where our heart is because of what we did with our treasure. And it's such an honor and privilege to serve here and be a part of that. And so what we'll do after we sing the offertory is hear a little bit about what we have done to an extent with the treasure given to us, but what we also want to do, and that we'll focus a little bit more on that next week, on what we can do with our time and our skills and talents, because that's just as important as just money that we can give. It's just as integrated with our... Amen.